This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. Yes, and I'm lost without you. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Lord, and I'm lost without you. You know I'm lost without you. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you.
All right, turn with us this morning into the book of St. John, and we'll be reading in the 6th chapter of St. John to begin with, and we'll just see where to from here. We are going to read a few more scriptures other than this, I believe, as we go along. So, we're reading in St. John. And I've got a title of my message this morning will be, well, let's put it like this. Let's put Jesus Christ, a lad, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, we could add on that, but I'm not going to be long about a multitude, you know, because there was a multitude there. Amen. I like that word lad. Still and yet, it has come through all the time periods, and the King James translators and all that, they still used the word lad. How many know what a lad is, in case somebody don't? It's a young fella, a young boy called lad. Hey there, lad. You talk about a young lad, so that's what he's talking about. And I like that word. I like it because it hadn't changed, and we oftentimes hear somebody say something about, watch out, young lad crossing the street or something, or a young lad was crossing the street, and so on. So I like that. And so our title will be, Jesus Christ, a Lad, Five Loaves, and Two Fishes. And of course, we know what he does. He feeds the multitude. Amen. So let's pray before actual reading. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity, Lord, to stand for you once again and speak on your word and expound it as you would have us to do, and have an in-time application that it would be profitable for us here in the Western world and here at the end time, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're ever present. You're able to make your word live in every generation. And now we're in the last generation, and you're making it live here. And I just thank you for it. Thank you for the people, Lord, that's receiving the word, serving you, walking uprightly before you. And Father, those that are not yet in the fold that you've ordained, that you foresaw would make that decision, I pray, God, that you'll just move upon their hearts and souls, that the decisions be made. It's time to really get serious with God. Time to begin to see what God's doing for this hour and believe it, respond to it, respect it, and receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as we look at the scripture reading here, I'll give you a pre-thought here that the Lord sometimes takes small things, impossible things, and does great miracles with it, see. Now, it would be totally impossible and unrealistic for someone to think that you could feed a great multitude, and we actually don't know how many it is. Different one of the four gospels might use a little different numbers on it, but it could conceivably be 20,000 because there was 5,000 men in the bunch. In the eastern countries, and sometimes the men and women, they'll sit differently, you know, on different sides. In Africa, quite a bit, the women sit on one side and the men sit on the other and so on. But the point being here, it was totally impossible to feed these people. They were out where there was no food available, plus they didn't have the money enough to even think about feeding a great multitude. So let's read it here and we'll just see how it goes. I believe we'll just start in verse 5 of John 6. It says, When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he should do. We don't pull no, there's no surprise with Jesus, is it? Amen. Now I'll go on to the next verse. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Other words, even this amount of money, which 200 pennies worth, I'm not sure what it would be in their money structure, but evidently it was quite a sum, you know, because he said this wouldn't be enough money for each one of them, just have a little. That caught my attention, that each one may have a little, in other words, just a little bite. When Jesus feeds you, he just doesn't give you a little bite, does he? Amen. He feeds you to the full. Amen. So here was an impossible situation. Here was some people need feeding. Amen. And it was an impossibility to feed them if you went totally by the natural means of doing things. Amen. It had to be a miracle, say. It had to be something outside the ordinary. Amen. And God does things outside the ordinary. A lot of times we are in situations many times, and we look at it and we don't see any any human way that this could be done. But if we let our faith go in God, amen, and just do what's right before God and seek His will, somehow or another, He works a miracle, doesn't He? Amen. The old saying is, He'll always come through for you. And here was a situation that Philip himself, and of course all the others would have felt the same, I'm sure, looking at this situation, here's people got to be fed. And Jesus said, how are we going to feed them, you know? Philip said, why, you're talking impossibilities here. Even 200 pennies worth wouldn't feed them. That they each one might have just a little bit. Oh, praise God. I'm glad God just didn't give us a little bit. He gave us abundance. Hallelujah. So, he's going on relating the thing that happened here. Verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, I like this, there's a little lad. It's amazing that he would make a mention of this. Now, if I were there personally, seeing something like a large multitude, conceivably 20,000 or whatever it might have been, it was 5,000 men usually, I wouldn't even probably mention the fact that we got one in this group that has a little lunch. Mama fixed him a lunch that morning. Well, we're not talking about him eating. We're talking about a multitude eating. Why talk about the little lad here with a lunch pail, with a brown bag in his hand, you know. Amen. So this year is something that I want you to put yourself there. Impossible situation. And would you mention that in relationship to feeding thousands of people? No. That would be unworthy to mention ordinarily. Because he's talking about feeding a multitude, Jesus said. Well, here's a little boy, here's a little lad. And I like that word lad again. Let's read it. He said, there is a lad here which has five barley loaves, or like five slices of bread, and two small fish. I want you to know, it wasn't big old fish. Bobby, remember one over on the Indian Ocean, the fellow, we got a picture of it. He caught a fish, that thing was big, and he come up, walking out there, toting it, taking it to the market, and he was so proud of that big old fish, he could hardly carry it, it was so large. But here's a young boy, he has two small fishes, which make it even more impossible for what Jesus is about to do here. Amen. So, there's a lad, he has five slices of bread, we would say, loaves, yes, it wouldn't be big loaves like we buy today. And two small fishes, But what are they among so many? Yeah, that would be a question we would ask. Fact is, I would probably never even mention in relationship to feeding a multitude, perhaps 20,000. Amen. I would not mention the little boy with the 5 slices of bread and 2 small fishes. Because he ain't talking about him. That was his own personal lunch that day. Amen. But here, when we're put in the hand of Jesus, amen, things change. That's what I want you to notice here. Amen. Things change, and he works out things that from the natural eye is totally impossible to work out. See? Amen. So, the fact was established. Here's a young lad, and he has 5 little slices of bread, a loaf, and he has 2 small fishes. But I would have been just like Andrew's brother here said. But what is that among thousands? We're talking about thousands, see. What are they among so many? Amen. I love the Word of God, don't you? The little brown baggie? Amen. To feed anywhere 15,000-20,000 people there. Amen. Here's your lunch. That's for the whole thing. Well, that's impossible, isn't it? Amen. Well, we have to get to the hour and the day in this day we're living in where we don't look at possibilities and impossibilities. We got to get to the place where we look at the will of God and what God can do when we yield something to God. Amen. All right, let's see what happened then. Philip answered, I done got that verse. I'm on verse 10 here. And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And then he said, and Jesus took the loaves, took the slices of bread. Amen. Over there, little loaves, you know, that's individual. 5 of them would be for, it wouldn't even be as big as a hot dog bun, you know, here. Little loaves they fix there. And that was for his personal lunch, so you know he wouldn't eat 5 big loaves of bread. But Jesus took them here, verse 11 here. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, amen, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Amen. Now I want you to notice that he delivered them to the disciples, and they were set down. And I want you to notice, and likewise the fish as much as they would. Now up there it says each one would have a little. If we had 200 pennies worth, we couldn't give each one a little bit. But here, as much as, in other words, you want a second helping, a third helping, all right, that's fine, because there's going to be plenty left over. Glory to God. And then we go on. It says, when they were filled. Now catch that word, when they were filled. Not just a little bit, when they were filled. And some of us, it takes quite a bit to fill us up, don't it? Amen. We go to these places where you eat all you can for one price. You know, we go in there and we don't know exactly where the stopping switch is at, you know. Amen. But these year they ate till they were all filled. Now we're talking of 5 slices of bread, or little loaves, and we're talking about 2 small fishes. Amen. Here's thousands of people were filled out of this. Amen. I'll tell you, our God is good. He's a miracle worker. And He always meets the need now. Praise the Lord. And then when they were filled, He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, that's important there. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Amen. Now, not only were the thousands fed, amen, but there were fragments, there were leftovers to be gathered up, see. Remember the message we preach here, first round eaters. You know, some eat first, this other, those coming along and so forth later be eating on it. Amen. We're the first round eaters. Amen. These that were present with Jesus, those that were in the presence of Jesus Christ was first round eaters. They didn't get second handed. Amen. They didn't get after it's been picked over. Amen. But they got it right there first, just as it was hot off the grill, we would say. Amen. Gather up. Therefore, when they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten, then those men, when they had seen the miracle Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, I want you to notice, I read on down through, after a while they were trying to kill him, you know. If you'll go on, this chapter, St. John's, is a good chapter to read. Not only this year, but later on in the chapter, he began to tell them about the bread that come down from heaven. See, all this miracle here was to start a conversation. They wanted them to, they followed him for the fish and loaves, see, many did. But when he began to say, Moses ate, they said, Moses, give us bread, and Moses gave us manna. And he said, yes, and everyone's dead. But said, this bread that I give, said, you shall eat and live forever, see. Amen. All right, they said, Lord, evermore give me that bread, you know, because they still was in the carnal. Well, then Jesus took it another step further. And he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And they said, this is a hawk. I'll tell you, this, what they say, done gone off over the edge. Is that what they say? Now, we were listening. We were going along. But now, Jesus, you've already gone over the edge. Amen. And the Bible says, many of his disciples turned and walked no more with him, see. And he looked at the 12 there. He said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you are a devil. Said, will you also go away? But there was people there, especially Peter there. He had a divine revelation from God. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, to whom could we go? Where could we go? There's no other place to get it other than what God is giving. Hallelujah, he's saying. Amen. We don't understand what you mean, eat my flesh and drink my blood. That would make us carnal. I know there's a carnival. What is that? Well, I may not be saying it right, but you understand. But the point is, they knew that there was probably a revelation to that they weren't seeing. Amen. Because Peter had a revelation, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Jesus, in one place, Matthew, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. So we see that God began to do something. Now, I look back many, many years ago. Amen. As we begin to see how God brought the word up that is now prevailing all over the whole world. Amen. And we see how it began to come into being. Now, most of you some of you weren't that old, but some of you were old enough to realize and know that when we started out ministering, just still in the teens, you might say a lad, a little over a lad, I guess, a big lad, because I went to school. They said you need to go to school. They passed a law that you had to go to school. At first, it wasn't you could go to school or not go. So we lived in the mountain and farmed and worked. We didn't go. But they passed a law that I would guess I was about 15 then, that you had to go to school here in Georgia till you're 16-year-old. Well, I went, and they said, what grade are you in? I said, well, I don't know. I've never went anywhere. Never went. Well, we sure can't put you in the first grade. And so they moved me up to the fourth grade. So I went in the fourth grade. I graduated from the fourth grade. Probably started in it and finished in the fourth grade. Graduate, got my diploma. Amen. Amen. Instead of taking 4 years to get a diploma, I got mine about 1 year. Amen. All the way through to the fourth grade. But the point is, when I came out, I didn't know how to spell, didn't know how to read, and you know the story on that. Amen. But the amazing thing is, a little later, I gave my heart to the Lord in a more serious way. I've always kind of thought on the Lord, you know. But gave myself to the Lord in a more serious way, as far as wanting to serve God and do what's right. Still in the teens, though. Well, I began to feel like I was called to preach, you know. Me called to preach? Absolutely not. Because I couldn't read. I didn't know how to do anything. Just raised in the mountains. Amen. And anything like that. I didn't know anything like that. How to read or whatever. And didn't know what to do in church. How to act. So on. Because I've never been very much. Because back in the mountains, sometimes they'd have a meeting once a year or something with go, but we never got any religious training at all. So I felt like I was called to preach. So I told my daddy, I said, Daddy, you know what? They call him Old Man Ben. If you hear Anita and Clifford and Bill and all, everybody knows him. Old Man Ben, that's what they called him. Amen. But I said, I think I'm called to preach. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. He said, if you are, there's two things you need to do. You need to go get you some preaching license, and you need to get you a necktie. I've never had a necktie in my life. Amen. And my daddy, I think he was thinking that you had to go to the courthouse or something to get preaching license, or it wouldn't be legal to preach. So he said, well, you'll have to go get you some preaching license and get you a necktie. Well, that's all. I mean, of course, I didn't obey him. Amen. And so later I began that. We had home meetings, and I'd testify, and I'd begin to get a little more like I was preaching. So finally it started off so little, just a lad there with some home meetings. Amen. But Jesus said, take this gospel to the whole world. See? Amen. And we begin to look at it, it would be in comparison to something like the little lad with five loaves and two fish. Amen. Because that was totally impossible. Amen. Because how do I spell thee? Which would be T-H-E. I can spell it now. How do I read Scripture? I've never read. Never went to school. Amen. Other than graduating from the fourth grade, and they just, I just went because they, Mom and Dad had to send me because they passed the law. You had to go till you're 16 or they'd lock them up or something. I don't know what it was. But they made, I would have to go. Oh, some days I went the minimum amount that I had to go. Amen. And learn absolutely hardly anything at all. because first place. So I don't want any kids, any of the children or the lads follow my example here, because I learned the minimum I could learn and get by with. And they just bore with me till my birthday came, so that I wouldn't have to go anymore. Amen. So that's what happened there. And we started off, but we watched this ministry as it growed over the years, see. Amen. Put it in the hand of the Lord, see. That's what you got to do. Put your life in His hand. Amen. Give it to Jesus and watch what He'll do with it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we just finished the project on the MP3s. And, of course, we're adding others as we go along. But the point is, there's messages there. We've even put some of the old ones, like starting in 67, all the way up till now. Over 1,350 messages. There's thousands that you wouldn't want to hear. I promise you that. When I started off, because I could say glory to God, hallelujah, and jump around, and that was about the extent of preaching. Because I didn't know hardly anything and couldn't read. Amen. But God's Spirit kept pressing upon me to do this. Amen. Now I want you to look back in time here and see the impossibilities of a great miracle that have taken place. You remember the vision I had, or dream, I believe it was a dream, years ago. Well, I went back over here where a man I worked, raised chicken for, worked with him, and this is a dream, I believe. And a night vision and a dream sometimes are very close together. How many knows it? So I think you could say night vision or dream, and it would be all right. But let's just say dream for the sake of being on the safe side. Amen. I had a dream that was five barrels. And the man I worked for, he's already gone now. But he was there. He says, he called me Junior. He said, Junior, these are for you. His name, Duck Thurman. Over here, they got a road named after him, Duck Thurman Road, over here on the way to Dawsonville. Well, he said, these are for you. And I looked, and there were little brown bags, about like the young lad had, I guess. But not if I all five barrels was totally full. He says there's some money in there. Well, I you know, being old Doubting Thomas, I said, well, there's probably some $1 bills or something in there. You know, thinking it'd probably be a very small amount, but it's five barrels, you know, with the bags in it. But I opened the bag, there were some hundreds, some fifties, some ones, some tens, some fives. All denominations was in there, you know. And when I say denomination, I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about the value of a bill, see. Not like the Church of God preacher. Somebody gave him a check. He went to the bank and to get it cashed, the teller says, what denomination do you want? He says, I'm Church of God. She said, no, I mean what size bills. And he said, oh, give him 50s, 100s, and whatever, you know. So some people, that's all we know sometimes about it's a fixed, see, that's why the denomination, it's a fixed amount. A denomination can't move. If it's $5, it'll stay $5. Amen, it don't change. It can't grow into something bigger, it'll always be a $5 bill. What denomination? But I looked and there was much money in there. Well, I was walking through the house and this happened just as sure as 2 and 2 is 4. I was walking through the house the next day. I said, Lord, what did that mean? All them barrels of money. Somebody going to send an offering to help us get this gospel out, or what's going to take place? And a voice came. And the voice said, it's the tapes. At that time, we had the message on cassette tapes, see. Amen. There's the bread. There's the fish and loaves. Amen. And just as clear. Well, we began at that time to put them in order, you know, the tapes. We used to just have them. You could find boxes of tapes everywhere with no number on, don't know, and so on. But we did put a title on them, put the date on them, and just throw them back in the box. And a lot of them, thousands of tapes have been preached and gone forth and so on that we didn't keep. And then there's thousands, like I say, that weren't ever recorded. Early on, it weren't no recording done of any of the messages. Amen. We were in the Philippines, and sometimes we had much as 3 services a day. We got some on the film, you know, you can see. But most of those weren't taped in Malaysia. I believe they taped messages over there, but I never did get a hold of them. If I did, I've lost the count of them. I couldn't find any Malaysian tapes that I'd preached there. Amen. But see, now this thing has grown totally impossible for a lad that couldn't read, couldn't spell, couldn't talk very well, didn't know how to do anything hardly except plow a mule. I'm pretty good plowing a mule now. You just put me behind that old mule with a plow now and get out of my way, see. I could do that and eat. Amen. Those are the things I could do. But far as dealing with people, dealing in church, preaching, or traveling, amen, I never was away just a few miles as far as I ever was from DeLong to Georgia till we moved over at Jasper. If you said go to Atlanta or go somewhere in another state, it would absolutely scare me to death. And when I would look up and see a plane flying over, I had to learn what it was. Amen. I would say, ain't no way I'd get on one of them things, you know. And, you know, you talk about green. Amen. Just a lad, but God said this gospel's got to go all over the whole world. Amen. But the thing is, the strange thing about it is, and it's not strange when you put it in the hand of God, but when you look at it from our natural standpoint, natural viewpoint, that it has gone all over the world. Amen. Then that is a miracle. That's no stranger than Jesus taking the lad's lunch and 5 little slices of bread and 2 small fishes and feeding thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Hallelujah. If you take what you got today and put it in the hand of the Lord. Amen. And don't doubt. Amen. Sometimes we may not see our way clear. Paul went into Jerusalem one time. He said, I go knowing not what shall befall me. But it was pressed to go, see. Amen. We've got to learn to trust Jesus. Amen. Learn He's our pilot. Learn He's our all in all. Learn that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is our compass. Amen. That keeps us straight and keep us going the right way in all situations, irregardless of how it looks. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this ministry has done this without, there's no certain individual in the world that has supported this in a large way. Like a Brother Brown meeting, there was one man come up, he prayed for his wife, and he was healed. He gave him a check for $2 million. And Brother Brown just sent it there by, FBI or something. I forgot who it was. It's on tape now. Tore it in 2 and sent it right back. Amen. But there was people that gave some lights. But in this, it's been small amounts from poor people in general. Amen, and it has nothing ever stopped it yet. Amen, it has grown. It has done what God ordained it to do. And now, everyone that have received the binder with 38 of the MP3s on it. Amen. Everyone has said they can't believe it. I believe Joanne called and said, her and Larry going on the way home. Said, I tell you, I can't believe this. Look at here, you know. How could this be, you know? Well, guess what? They are in many nations already. Amen. And God did it. Amen. He took the lad, what the little lad had, which weren't much in our eyes, but Jesus knew, the Bible said. He knew what he would do. See, when he called us to minister the Word of God and put this in us, he knew that whatever happened, whatever took place, we weren't stopping, we weren't slowing down. Amen. We tried to keep our eye on the ball and be faithful to the calling, see. Amen. And look what has happened. Amen. Go look at the letters we received this week and so on from the different places that has wanting us to come and preach and wanting us praying. They said, we're praying. One brother, he put it in the ways like that. We're praying that you will see that it's God's will for you to come, you know. He weren't praying that it was God's will. He was praying that I would see that it's God's will. So I thought that's a strange way of putting it, you know. But they got, I think, about 12 preachers there signed it and so on. Amen. That was wanting to work with it. And now go back to the little lad and the five loaves and two fishes with a little lunch pail. Go back till many, many years here in the mountain. Not knowing how to read, write, not knowing how to talk. I remember when I actually got the seeking the Lord in a major way. I went to church. And they were the pastor down here. Most of you know Harold Pettit. I think most everyone here would know who he is. Maybe with the exception of Jenny, because you knew him too? Okay, all right. Well, I went there, and he was asking those that have made commitments, those new converts to get up and just, he said, if you can't say enough, just get up and say, I thank God being saved. I said, ain't no way I can talk before people, you know. Well, he started asking them, testify. I got up and went out, and I didn't come back in until after service over. So after service over, he came out and he said, Junior, I was going to get you to testify. How come did you get sick, or what happened reading you went out? I said, I couldn't say. I know you was going to call on me to testify. I'd probably died if I had to get up before the church and say a word. Amen. Now, there's the little boy with five barley loaves and two little fishes. Amen. It weren't much, but while it was in the bag, see, nobody knew it till there was one man got a revelation. Philip got a revelation. There's a young fella here. He has a brown bag, and it's got five little loaves and two fishes. That's all the food there is in all the area. Amen. Jesus said, bring it to me. It's enough. Amen. Different one of them words did a little different here. Amen. But you see what God do? Well, he's still a miracle-working God. Amen. Now, I saw things happen in a meeting over near Calhoun, Georgia. Amen. We prayed for a little girl, and her eyes was just milky-looking. And the mother sat back in the back. It was poor folks, and that's one God always seemed like I always had more effect on the, and I always came to the meeting because I was poor and didn't know anything. But the mother and the little girl sat in the back for 2 or 3 days of the meeting there. Then one night we dismissed the service. I was working each day, preaching at night. By this time I'd got a tent in Bill Andrews. And started some tent meeting. Well, she sat back and one night after service dismissed, the boys letting the curtains down so on, and she came up, brought the little girl. Said, sir, I've sat here and listened to you for either 3 or 4 nights, whatever it was. She said, "You said Jesus could do anything. Do you really believe that?" I said, "Why, sure he can." I didn't know what she was up to now. Well, she says, "Look into my little girl's face here." Oh, I'd say she's 3, 4, possibly 5 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. And I looked, and her eyes was just milky. You could barely tell there was a pupil in it at all. And she said, I said, "Can she see at all?" She said she can see if a light bulb, if you put a light bulb in front of her and turn it on or off. Says about the extent of her vision is that she can see if it's on or off. But as far as distinguishing anything, she can. I took the little things up and set in my lap, and I began to weep, compassion come upon me. And somewhere down within me, some words came out. I said, "Ma'am, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to heal your child." Well, she just said, "Thank you, sir," and took the little child and walked down. Well, next day, on the way home that night, I was thinking. The devil jumped on my back and says, "What if that don't happen? You're in trouble. Everybody here is going to know that you told something. You promised this woman God would heal her child. And if it ain't healed, you're going to be in some trouble because everybody's going to know about it." Well, I said, "Devil?" He said, "What if it don't happen?" I said, "Yes, but devil, what if it does?" So the next night they brought her back and the whole thing exploded. They had her up on the platform and we did, and the mother brought her up and gave the testimony of how it all happened. See, that was back before the days of videos. I don't think the camcorders ever even made at that time. They might have been for very few people had television. I know there's one family over here, the Wright family. You remember Brother Clifford? Over here somewhere. And they had a little colored black and white, not colored, a little black and white there. The neighbors want to go and look into it. See that man in that box talking. It reminded me when I was over in Colombo. When the little place to eat there, they had a little 12-inch black and white. Everybody in there looking at it. Well, I looked and I couldn't see God, but once in a while you see some type of figure there. You know, but that was the greatest thing to them since wheels, you know. Amen. So that was so in those days we didn't have a lot of records and tape recorders. We didn't have tape recorders and so on. They made them at that time, but it was only, they were expensive, I understand, and only those that had some money or knew something could get them. But I didn't have any recorder. And sometimes I'll get a tape in somebody recorded way back somewhere or another that had a personal recorder that brought. But this thing, the lady, she brought that child in, and God did a great thing, see. God did a miracle. Well, He's still doing great things, and He's still doing miracles. Yeah. We saw a miracle here in what God has done here at this church, a miracle. And Billy's friend, Brother Bill over there, you know Billy? What's his last name? Bill Jones. He came and he said, "Ben, there ain't nobody in the world would believe that this little work from here would go down." He was downstairs helping me learn a program on the computer. And he said, "Nobody in the world would believe this." So he came and he helped me a couple of days and got me going. But you go back now and look at there, box after box after box, and it's not sitting there gathering mold either. Amen. God has done it. He has took the little lads, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He's multiplied, and He ain't feeding just 1,000. It's for the entire world. Hallelujah. He's feeding the world. Feed my people. And notice when the fish and bread was multiplied, they just didn't get a little, it says. You know, they said if we had 200 pennies worth, we'd give everybody just a little touch, a little bite maybe. I remember growing up, we got a stick candy. You know, we'd try to bargain with each other and get a bite of the stick candy or a bite off of an apple or an orange or something like that. Amen. We'd try to bargain around to get just a little bite. Or a lick off a candy stick. I heard Brother Brown talking with us saying a similar thing. Of course, we've been there and done that, see. Amen. But here, he once it was multiplied, he said they eat till the fill, and there was took up 12 baskets. Amen. And I'm telling you, as long as the bride is right here before the rapture, she's going to eat till the fill. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be a thing wasted. Jesus said, take up the fragment that there be nothing wasted. Amen. When the rapture takes place, these MP3 CDs and DVDs and cassette tapes are going to be right here. Hallelujah. There'll be people that'll get a hold of this. Amen. And namely, foolish virgin. And then the tribulation saints. It ain't going to waste. He said, let me read that here. Okay. Where he said, take it up that there be no nothing waste. Yes. Verse 12. When they were filled, not just a little bite, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, get up the fragment that remained, that nothing be lost. Hallelujah. Amen. What we do for God ain't a thing lost. How many knows it? What you give, what you do, what you your testimony is not lost. When God leads you to testify to somebody, it's not lost. Hallelujah. How many knows it? Amen. It goes on. God puts eternal life in it. Glory to God. Amen. What we saw in our day, we saw a little lad. Amen. With 5 little slices of bread and 2 little fish, and it fed the world, and there's plenty for everyone to fill and eat as long as you want to eat. Amen. We got a letter from, well, we got 2 brothers that got these MP3s from 2 different states. Amen. They're going to start at the front and listen to every one of them. 1,300 and over 1,350, about 1,360 now. And going to listen to it. And one brother wrote us, asked us for an extra book. The little booklet that has a listing. It says, because I want to mark them off as I read them. And maybe write a little something there on them. But said, I want one, not soil. I want one for my keepsake, not marked in. Said, do you have an extra copy? So we sent him an extra copy so he could mark them off as he read, as he heard them. He said, I won't hear every one of them. We got 2 that's already wrote that won't hear every one of them. Well, I'll tell you, if you eat all that, you're filled. I mean, you're filled full. And when you get through eating, there's going to be plenty left. Hallelujah. Amen. And the fragments, amen, will be here when the rapture takes place and we're gone. Amen. There'll be those that keep right on eating. We're the first round eaters, say. Amen. We're not eating the fragments. They're going to have plenty of fragments to eat on after we're gone. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. There's another scripture you had in mind here. It's in Romans, the 10th chapter. I didn't know exactly. I just felt to read this. I tell you, brothers and sisters, your eyes have seen a little lad with 5 slices of bread and 2 small fish. Your eyes have seen it multiplied that the whole, not just the thousands, the whole world has access to it. Amen. Now there's a website all over the world. Amen. Now that's one thing, but the people that out in the areas where they don't have telephones and electricity and so on, amen. We're making a way that they can have it through the MP3s and tape recorders and so on like that. Amen. You see what God's doing? Amen. And I've been told over and over, I can't even count the number of times, where people say, Ben, you can't do that. You can't do that, Ben. Where's all the people backing you up? And one brother, well, he was a Baptist, and I'm not know his true state with the Lord, none of my business. But he was over at one of the biggest churches here in the county. He said, Ben, how did you ever do this? He said, I know that you were able to put together a network of churches to support you and the things you're doing. Otherwise, it couldn't be done unless you had a big network backing you up. Well, I've got the biggest network there is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As He moves on the scene, if He can take the little lad's 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, amen, and feed the thousands, you don't need, what kind of network did he have? He just had those that believed him and heard him. They took it and began to give it out. Amen. There's people giving this out. Amen. I tell you, like over in Africa now, Brother Enoch, he goes and takes these and wherever, and he can't wait till, and he's done spread the word around. They can't wait till they get these MP3s in some of the other areas. Amen. See, Jesus gave to the disciples and they fed the multitude and there was plenty left. Amen. Just think, I like to eat where I got all I want to eat and have just a little left. Don't you? Now, when it comes to certain things, it's going to take a lot smarter if I have any left now. I'll tell you right now. Amen. But this word here, he fed them all and had plenty left. 12 baskets took up. He said, don't let it be wasted. So there's nothing wasted that you do for God, whether you're here or whether you're in the rapture. If you leave it here, let them eat it. Amen. Don't tell who was going to eat the fragments. But he said, take it up that it don't be wasted. But thank God we're the first round eaters. We got it straight from that as it was multiplied. We're eating it. Amen. We're the first round eaters. We're hearing apostolic message. Amen. We're eating fine. We're doing fine. Amen. And God has done this before our very eyes. So the man was wrong about a network of churches. Amen. He was wrong about being able to put together a network to support. Amen. See, that's the way man do it. That's what Philip said. If we had 200 pennies worth of bread, we couldn't do this. In other words, he was looking strictly how we could do it in the natural. Well, I'll tell you, in the hour we're living in, if you're looking to the natural, how we're going to do it, it's not going to be done. Amen. Amen. How many knows it? It's a miracle of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That was in Romans 10th chapter here. Amen. I'm closing on this scripture. Praise God. Amen. This is my last message I'll preach. Probably while I'm 69, next message to preach, I'll probably be 70. Amen. You know, God promised, first the man had no limit. They lived nearly 1,000 years, but there about the time of the flood, he said man's life shall be 120, you know. But then later on, as we deteriorated, as we come along, he said your lifespan, a man's life, be 70, which is 70. Amen. I get that 70 in, it'll be gravy from there on out. In other words, anything extra, I'll take it, Lord. And take it and thank you for it. Praise the Lord. Well, I thank Him for getting us this far. Amen. But I'll get my marker in Tuesday. I don't know what time I was born, but it was on Tuesday sometime on April 28, 1939. And so Tuesday I'll reach my marker of 70. I tell you, I couldn't wait to get this year. I mean, I rejoice to be 70. I praise God because I feel good. Amen. David said, I ran through a troop and leaped over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't try to stop the little boy with a fish and five slices of bread and a few little fish. Just give it to Jesus and watch what he do with it. What you have seen here was no less a miracle than what they saw that day as a fish and the fish and bread was multiplied. Amen. Brother Clifford, you remember living at that John Moore's old place, farming. We farmed on the hays, and basically we got a house for free for farming the land and so on. But far as any money, barefooted, that's all we know, to go barefooted. Hey, these ain't stories that can, these are stories. Ask the people here that was there, and they'll know. Amen. But here we are today. Hallelujah. The fish and the bread and fish have been multiplied. The multitude has been fed and are still being fed. And thanks be to God, there's plenty of fragments for left over. Amen. And there's plenty going to be left over when we go out here in the stream of fire and the rapture. Amen. And the tribulation saints, amen's going to get a hold of it, but basically the foolish virgin going to take it and be a powerful witness in that first part of that 70 week of Daniel as soon as the rapture takes place. See, the rapture will take place, and then there will be 7 years of time God will deal with Israel. Then the second 3.5 years of that 7 is going to be great tribulation. Amen. But the first part of that, the foolish virgin, them that has gotten this, knowing it, come knocking, wanting in, begin to realize the revelation. Amen. But we can say, they went to get oil. We can say, while they were gone, we got married. And went in. And the door was shut. Amen. But thank God, there's going to be plenty of fragments left for them. They're going to say, I wish I'd have got that first round. I bet this was good, the fish. Amen. The kids might have picked over it and so on. We won't get in that too much. Amen. And so on. But they'll be glad to get it because they'll know it's a fish that Jesus multiplied. They'll know it's the bread that Jesus multiplied. They'll know they're eating miracle bread, amen, that came down from heaven. They'll know that they're eating Jesus' flesh and drinking His blood. Amen, because if you do that, you shall never die. And those foolish virgins, as we go, they'll never die in the spirit, the bodies they will, but that's not dying. He don't even call that dying. When they said Lazarus dead, Jesus said, behold, Lazarus sleepeth. And Mary and him said, no, wait, he's not asleep, he's dead. But Jesus said, don't make a bit of difference. He's going to raise from the dead. If that's what you want, I'll come and awake him. But the point is there, amen, that Mary says, I know that in the resurrection he will. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, life, all. And Jesus just spoke the word, and it came out. That's all he does today, spoke the word. Those that are dead in sin and trespasses, when Jesus speak the word to the heart, we can arise from the dead. Amen. Arise from the dead, the Lord shall give thee light, he said. Praise God. Now, let me get these other verses I want to get before we go today. The 10th chapter of Romans, in verse 13, I'll say. It says, For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord by revelation, you shall be saved. How many knows? Amen. Then he says here, verse 14, then watch what he says. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's the Holy Ghost fivefold ministry preacher, see. How shall they hear without a preacher? And then he goes on, verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? That means called, ordained of God. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, same today. For Isaiah did say, who has believed their report? Now I want you to watch. Who has believed their report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now verse 18, 19, I really want you to notice the verse 18. It says, but I say, have they not heard? And watch this. Yes, verily. Now here's what I want you to get. This is what I've been reading to get to. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Now watch, who? The preacher that was called. Their sounds have gone into all the earth. Their sounds have gone into all the ends of the earth. Amen. Has it happened? That's what I want to ask you. Amen. That was the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles in that day. Amen. As he was making reference to the gospel. Amen. All the known world of his day heard the gospel. Amen. And not only that, it was wrote down. Now we're hearing it in our day. Amen. All right. Praise God. We saw the fish and loaves multiplied, and the sound has gone into all the earth, into all the world. There's no limit. Jesus said, when this gospel is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. Tell me where it's missed. Tell me where it's not happening. Amen. Neither, I don't know if you remember, Brother Doc got up here and testified. I believe it's on the video or something. Amen. He said, my daddy used to say, when this gospel, son, when this gospel is preached all over the world, said, then the end will come. He said, through the internet and through Ben Barber traveling, going to these different countries preaching, says, where has it not gone? Somebody say, Russia? No, we get people in Russia going on. In the communistic, in China. We've been getting quite a bit in China lately. Amen. You see what God's doing? Amen. He took, there was a little lad in the midst that had just a little lunchbox with five slices of bread and two small fishes. But he has fed the world. God bless you today. Amen. Thank you for coming to church. Do you see what God's done in this hour? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this another privilege to stand and look and behold at the great miracle you've done right before our eyes, Lord. Unbelievable. We could write about it. We could tell about it. And most everybody says, it's impossible. Amen. We could take that little lunch and say it's impossible to take this five slices of bread and two small fish and feed the multitude. But it happened because the little boy gave it to Jesus. Lord, we've given our life to you. We've given you our all in all. And you've used it. It's gone around the world. God, we just thank you for it now. Oh God, as I reach my 70th birthday, Lord, you brought me two more days to go. So you brought me to the promised amount of time. And Lord, I know that promised amount that you'll just add on as you see fit, as you did with the one in the Bible days. Lord, you added 15 years. And Lord, you can add as much as you want, Lord. But God, I thank you for bringing me through everything, through it all, through it all. Lord, you brought me through it all. And Lord, time wouldn't permit to tell the many hardships, the many trials, the many things that have beset us along the way. But Lord, you put something in me that, Lord, you wouldn't let nothing cause me to deviate from this, no matter what happened. Lord, as the saying is, our day, we kept our eyes on the ball. Don't matter how many times we got hit or knocked or whatever happened, you brought us this hour now. And the multitude's been fed. And there'll be plenty of fragments for the foolish virgins to take and just keep eating once we're gone. But I thank you, Lord, that we're first-round eaters. Got it fresh from the hand of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this today. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit. I feel here even now, Lord. Oh, God, as we look back and say, Lord, you're a miracle worker. Lord, we can't believe it, yet it happened. Lord, it's so impossible. The odds of it happening would be maybe one in a billion, Lord. But here it is. You've done it, and we thank you for it, Lord. And may God, you take these words, use them for your glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah.